Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Dr. Be Real, the author of the two-volume book series called Surviving Fourth Wave Feminism. This is my review of Chapter 5 in his second volume. If you want to get a copy, the link is in the description. This chapter is called Inconvenient Truth, Invisible to the E-Fems or Fourth Wave Feminists. Dr. Be Real, also known as Bob, covers what these things are. But I believe it's important to look at why the truth is invisible to feminists. The way I see it, sanity is on a spectrum. These liberated women trapped in their ivory towers of bankrupt and broken ideas haven't gone crazy. They just appear to be that way to someone that's socially programmed in an entirely different way. Women are far more likely to soak up whatever is socially acceptable from the top of the dominance hierarchy and disseminate those ideas to the rest of society. Then the majority of men fall in line if they want access to sex, female validation, companionship, procreation, and a lady to love. 90% of the population will go against reason and rationality and their own self-interest to gain access to sex and reproduction, if they're men, and gain social acceptance if they're women. Women's survival strategy is that of the zebra. They blend in into the background with regards to what's socially acceptable and politically correct, and blend in with the herd. So if you're an alpha zebra and you promote the idea of what is normal, then you can make crazy look normal. Contrary to popular belief, women are more like zebras than they are like cats. Maybe that's why they're obsessed with cats, because cats will not conform when they're told to do something. And we all know that opposites attract. As for this chapter, Bob is, for the most part, just summing up what he spoke about in previous chapters. But it got me thinking about my own experiences in university when I had to take a component that dealt with gender studies back in the late 90s and how women would get people to conform. There were these kids in the classroom that were brown nosers that hung off every word that the professors used to say, and we just called them the keeners, and they would sit at the front of the class. They made up roughly 45% of that class. Another 45% wanted to be like them and would sit behind them and generally wanted their approval. This was in an art school where people were supposed to be creative and original. The truly creative types, including myself, would sit at the back of the classroom, and we were the ones that didn't fit into any category. We were individuals and misfits and had our own opinions. Didn't always agree with one another, but we were okay with that. We all look completely different to one another, and we agreed to disagree. We were a herd of cats that had to get along so we could escape the wrath of the keeners. But I'm getting way off topic now. The reason I brought it up is because this is what Bob is talking about. So why is it that feminists seem to have gone crazy and can't see that their own ideology is insane? Why is it that I just sat there in the so-called university program full of artists that were for the most part conformists? The conformists were the leftists that wanted to censor ideas and thoughts that weren't Marxist, and those that weren't open to every aspect of gender ideology and transhumanism that they believed in. I experienced the stuff that Bob is talking about in this chapter about 25 years ago, but I didn't have YouTube to guide me through the madness or a book like this. I'll discuss more in a moment, but let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, the MGTOW Book Collection Part 2. Whether you're getting camel toe in Cambodia, banging babes in burkas in Turkey, or taking Polaroids of ladyboys in Thailand, Luca Vendetti has a series of books to make you live the dream. His new three-booklet series includes How to Live on $500 a Month in Cambodia, Turkey, and Vietnam, in addition to his classic How to Retire on $200K in Southeast Asia. He also has the MGTOW book. Visit MGTOWBooks.com and use the promo code SANDMAN to get 10% off. Now available in four formats: PDF, Mobi for Kindle, EPUB, and text-to-speech MP3. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, now back to Fourth Wave Feminists arguing that they're right when everyone can clearly see that they're wrong, clown world show. Bob begins by bringing up the idea that the left was the counterculture fighting for freedom of speech. But the more I think about it, the more I see that as being wrong. They needed freedom of speech as a temporary tool until they established their own ideas as the dominant form of discourse. And then when their ideas were the primary ones, they would just take freedom of speech away to ensure that no one could come in and change them. To them, freedom of speech was a means to an end and not natural to them. This idea is circulating, which is false, that the left believes more in freedom of speech. That Stalin and Lenin, both on the so-called left, believe in freedom of speech. Or that they crushed it when they finally came to power. All you have to do is look at photos of Stalin where he erased Trotsky from pictures to know the answer to that. Creative free speech advocates on the left are mostly posers. You realize this once you've gone through the experience of possibly being canceled by people that are supposedly open to new ideas. What creative art school taught me is the truth is subjective, creativity doesn't exist, and that art school is designed to make you uncreative. To deal with this problem, a fourth wave feminist propagating crazy beliefs that eventually filter down to men that just want sex, all we have to do is free men sexually and reproductively using technology that's better than the real life women out there, and then leftists and women won't be able to influence the men and thus control society. Checkmate to the globalists and feminists. Game over in my best Hudson voice. For most of this chapter, Bob brings up 100 inconvenient truths that fourth wave feminists deny. I thought it'd be more fun to flip them into false truths instead of true lies, and read some of them the way that they were taught to me. So here goes. For them, truth is not objective. It's subjective, just like beauty. That's why they can be beautiful at any size as well. They believe that reality isn't real and it's all about perspective, and you can change people's perspective based on what you teach them. They believe that feelings are all that matter, and of course, that feelings are far more important than facts. They also believe biological differences between the sexes are just social constructs. So changing the social perception means to change biology as well. So that's why you get women focusing on their careers, because they believe that men want a strong, empowered woman, the way that women want a strong, empowered, high-earnings potential male. They believe that a degree means that they have been educated, but in reality it just means that they've been indoctrinated and just paid an institution for a piece of paper. They believe that having lesbian dance studies and social justice degrees entitles them to having a high wage, because it makes them better than those that went to trade school. You see that self-confidence oozing out of them like period blood when you poke the Pillsbury Dough Girl. Many times the men that go to trade schools are like the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz. They're intelligent, but they lack a piece of paper to tell them what they already know. But many women in universities today have a degree that tells everyone that they're supposed to be smart, but they're anything but. Women believe just because it says Bachelor of Arts behind their name, they can both be artistic and a bachelor, even though they're nothing but female conformists. Yet they eat up that line like stale pizza after a night of slutting it up, drunk as a skunk at a nightclub. They don't seem to understand that it's their feminist professors that are just recruiting them in gender studies class for more partners for late night muff munchathons. They also seriously believe that men are attracted to purple-haired hippos and dress that way and expect rhino chat to show up and plow their folds. Mind you, they're actually attractive men that are chubby chasers. I probably fit into that camp when I was a lot younger. But that's the exception and not the rule. They probably believe that all men want large lasses because a few men did. They believe that inside of every chad there's a chubby chaser waiting to bust a nut in them. Bob also says that feminists are jealous of attractive women. So that's why they want to punish men and attractive women. Fourth wave feminists also believe that since gender is a construct, men will find them attractive at any size, so long as they have a super duper career. They really believe that men think like women, and that if we don't, then they can fix this. Yes, a man will take a woman's career seriously if he wants a family, but not just for casual hookups. Far too often you see couples where the husband brings home 80% plus of the bacon, and comes home to a woman that looks like bacon. Bob also says that just because women believe in my body, my choice, doesn't mean they understand that a man sees the way he chooses his life as his choice as well. Instead, they shame him if he doesn't want to get married and decides to stay single instead. He also says that women don't understand that the patriarchy doesn't exist. I beg to differ, but it's partially projection to cover up the fact that the matriarchy is in action. But it's also an enemy that they can never defeat, so that means they can always collect more money because they have an oppressed cooch. It's like those people fighting climate change. Climate is always changing, and because of that, their funding will never run out. He also makes a great point by saying that if men and women were equals biologically, then women wouldn't need preferential treatment in the family courts. If women are just as smart and capable as men, they would need school grants to help them, even though they make up the majority of university students these days. Just to show how much the world has changed, back when I was in art school in the late 90s, at least the girls in my art program knew something was wrong. Their conditioning hadn't taken hold back then like it has today. My female classmates were fighting to change the woke curriculum that wasn't teaching us anything. It was bait and switch. The first year was amazing, and the second, third, and fourth were absolutely awful. By the third year, I figured out that D stands for degree and worked on an internet business while in class because I knew I was unemployable. Many of the females that figured this out went into grad school and eventually became professors. Today, many of the so-called crazy college girls, to them, everyone has gone insane or is just too old-fashioned. They don't believe it's them and that they've gone too woke. Also, the greatest gift you can receive in this world is to become an outcast. That's who the true intellectuals and artists are. Moving on, Bob says that fourth wave feminism is cancer, and that once you have it, you will never be cured. Bob goes as far as to say that fourth wave feminists would have something known as rhino rage. It's usually the larger ladies that have it, and there's actually no cure for it. It's when they get angry because of things that don't matter. If rhino rage is a cure for something, it's certainly not one for obesity. But also, Bob says that fourth wave feminists who identify as victims are glorified with success, while men who've earned success are demonized as villains. That's the same old communist talking point, except the women are the workers and the men are the bourgeoisie. Many of the points in Bob's chapter are things you might have heard of before if you're involved with the men's rights movement and manosphere for many years. Things like the wage gap and equality talk, like women claiming they don't need a man, but then go out asking where have all the good men gone. It makes me think of that now ancient song by Paula Cole called Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, which I put a link to in the description. Maybe she should change the song to Where Have All the Good Men Gone. Seems like women were complaining back in the 90s about this too. Bob also makes the point, which women don't understand, which is that MGTOW's about survival and not hate or misogyny. He also makes the excellent point, which I've been saying for a while now, that labeling men as toxic is just a cover for toxic femininity. It's pure projection. Once again, if you want to get a copy, the link is in the description. You can also get the books in the MGTOW Book Collection Part 2 series down below. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Bob for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that cow-sized women are trying to shame Chad Roan to cream up their cooch and give them a full-sized fetus. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized. And if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the women that bind to the globalist agenda and then take most of the blue pill men with them away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.